Welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. Guess who I am? Yeah, I'm Jim Samaria.
Guess who I am? Mark Plotnick, Jim's co-host. For 1 hour each week, we will highlight a different theme from the most prolific and enduring era for rock and roll music, the 1950s through the early 80s.
Mark and I are the authors of the great book, Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which, by the way, is available on Amazon. And it features my exclusive photography of classic rock era artists from 1973 to present day, with words by the famous Mark Plotnick.
What happened to Wonderful Words?
The Wonderful Words by Mark Plotnick, sorry.
Thank you.
Today's show, we are going to feature some of our favorite rock piano players that are not necessarily household names.
That's right, Jim. These are the keyboard players whose role as a session player or band member took precedent over solo stardom. Today's show focuses on those whose pro careers were established in the 1960s and 1970s. The songs you hear today will feature acoustic, electric, or digital pianos as the dominant keyboard. Synthesizers and organs are the focus for another day.
I'm going to give you a little history, Mark. You ready?
I'm ready.
I'm very proud to say, being an Italian-American, that the piano was invented by an Italian guy named Bartolomeo Blereri. Let me do that one again. Bartolomeo Cristofori. All right? You got that?
I'm calling the Italian embassy
if
you can't get that right.
The first time. That was around the late 1600s. And since then, the piano has become one of the most popular and influential instruments ever invented. And almost every major Western composer since Mozart, love saying Mozart, has played and composed on a piano.
And the piano's role in popular music has come a long way since the parlors and saloons of the mid-1800s. With the emergence of rock music in the 60s, manufacturers like Fender and Wurlitzer responded with the electric piano. Musicians demanded cheaper, louder, and more portable alternatives to the real thing, not to mention the avoidance of hernias.
Hernias. Ouch, I've had one of those. Yeah.
Yes.
Although these early analog keyboards fell short of sounding like the real deal, their tones were coveted by the jazz fusion and rock musicians of today. And their tones remain popular today as samples of multifunction keyboards.
That's right.
That's right.
By the 50s and 60s, a significant portion of middle and upper class homes had pianos. Unfortunately, piano students like me grew frustrated with the lack of proper sheet music written for the rock and blues we wanted to learn. Many of us took to playing by ear and improvising, which is what you'll be hearing with some of the piano players featured today. Jim, let's get the music started.
Up to bat first is Max Middleton, who started his professional career with the Jeff Beck Group in 1971 when he was only 20 years old. I think, didn't you try out for Beck's band?
I did, but I told Jeff Beck I was only good playing in three keys. And he pointed to the door and said, out you.
Get out. Get out.
Get out.
The band, Jeff Beck Group, made two albums with this lineup. Rough and Ready was the first one released in 1971, and the second was the Orange Album, which was released in 72. The song Going Down by the Jeff Beck Group is from their second studio album, the Orange cover one, and it's a rock and roll barn burner. I love this song. Max leads the song off with a piano boogie that hooks you right from the start. It's followed by Jeff Beck's soaring guitar with drummer Cozy Powell and bassist Clive Chapman keeping the groove going. Singer Bob Tench enriches the song with his gravelly voice, and the band is off to the races. Mark, I want you to listen how Max blasts ahead on the piano, forcing Beck to challenge him on who is playing the lead instrument on the song.
Oh, yeah. I love this song.
We'll be right back.
After the Jeff Beck Group broke up, Max formed his own band called Hummingbird, along with Bob Tench, who was the singer with the Beck Band. They released a couple of albums. By that time, Max became a very much in-demand session player and appeared on many diverse musical talents like Nazareth and Kate Bush. His musical journey also included some solo albums and a couple of tours with the Rolling Stones' Mick Taylor. But his most memorable musical contribution would have to be Jeff Beck's first solo album, the groundbreaking instrumental album Blow by Blow, which was released in 1975, and that was produced by George Martin of Beatles fame. Okay, Mark, what you got?
Well, first I want to say one of the things I love about that song are the spontaneous whoops and woos. You know the musicians are really getting into it when you hear those things. Okay, Jim, our next pianist took to music at the age of 3 and turned pro at 16. Jim, what were you doing at the age of 3?
Working on quantum physics. Why?
Smart man.
Yeah.
Well, from that point forward, Nicky Hopkins became one of the busiest and most wanted piano players of his generation. Guitarist Nils Lofgren of the E Street Band said, Hopkins wrote the book on rock and roll piano. Although he was a product of the London blues scene, he had the dexterity and soul of a Memphis or New Orleans musician. He played on hundreds of records and worked with dozens of famous acts, including the Beatles and their solo albums, The Who, The Kinks, The Jefferson Airplane, Quicksilver Messenger Service, and most famously, The Rolling Stones from 67 through 81. The Nicky Hopkins song we've chosen is the Jefferson Airplane song Volunteers off the politically controversial 1969 album Volunteers. Hopkins also played with the band at Woodstock. Later in his career, Hopkins had a successful career playing on soundtracks for film and TV. But Nicky was dogged by serious health issues since childhood, and he chose to limit his touring and gigs. It's actually one of the reasons he turned down a gig with Led Zeppelin. Jim, what do Nicky Hopkins, Billy Preston, and Eric Clapton all have in common?
I know. They all played on Beatles records.
That's true. And actually, they were among the few outsider musicians the Beatles permitted to take the spotlight playing an instrument they could have played themselves. You are listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, 101.5 FM, and on demand 24/7 from anywhere in the world.
Even Alaska?
Even Siberia.
Okay.
I'm Jim, good. What you got?
Next up is Chuck Lavelle, who at the age of 13 saw Ray Charles in concert and that changed his life. Chuck once said that Ray and the band played an incredible show and it had such an impact on him, and that he decided that night that's what he wanted as a career. And boy, what a career. At the tender age of 20, the self-taught Chuck was asked to join the Allman Brothers. The Allman Brothers, mind you. The first album he recorded with them was Brothers and Sisters, that was released in 1973. The Allman Brothers chose Chuck to replace the legendary guitarist Duane Allman as the second lead instrument in the band.
Can you imagine having a keyboard player replacing one of the greatest guitar players ever? How did he do it on keyboards versus guitar? I don't know.
I don't know, but he did it, and he did it really good.
He done good.
He did good. The song we're going to play is Jessica. It's all instrumental, and it was written by the Allman Brothers guitarist Dickie Betts. And it was in tribute to his daughter and in tribute to Django Reinhardt. I always have a hard time saying his name, Django Reinhardt.
I know.
On the song, Chuck plays a very mean Fender Rhodes electric piano. And on the song, there's a great solo that while you're driving your car, it makes you want to go just a tad faster.
Thank you.
That's the great Chuck Lavelle on a great Allman Brothers song. That song just really cooks. Chuck has worked with so many artists, Eric Clapton, George Harrison, Pink Floyd's David Gilmour, and especially in the Rolling Stones, who he has toured with and recorded with since 1982.
All right. You know, Jim, it never ceases to amaze me how many celebrated rock musicians began as roadies. Billy Powell was one of these. Despite playing for a guitar-driven band, Powell's distinctive piano helped define the bluesy sound of Lynyrd Skynyrd. While majoring in music theory at a community college, he took a low-paying job as roadie for Lynyrd Skynyrd, but that was about to change. This is interesting. While Powell was setting up the band's equipment, he found a piano in the corner of the room and started playing a version of Freebird. And lead singer Steven Van Zandt was shocked that his roadie had that kind of talent. He immediately asked Powell to join the band. So let's listen to the sound of classically trained Billy Powell on the live version of Lynyrd Skynyrd's Whiskey Rock and Roller. The song is off the 1976 double live album, One More from the Road. It's, in my opinion, one of the best live albums ever recorded. Let's listen. On a fateful day in 1977, the small plane carrying the band members crashed in a Mississippi swamp, killing several members and severely injuring others. The band was at its peak of popularity. Powell was a survivor. Jim, you're a photographer, aren't you?
Last time I checked, yes.
You surely remember the controversy surrounding the Skynyrd album Street Survivors, released 3 days prior to the plane crash.
Yeah, I think everyone who followed Lynyrd Skynyrd, or just rock and roll in general, knows that the original album cover had the band walking, and they were engulfed in flames, almost like a premonition. But they changed the cover because of the Skynyrd family members asked them to change the cover and for future printings. It was just a very sad thing.
Yeah, you know, plane crashes took Otis Redding, it took Ritchie Valens and Buddy Holly, and I could go on. There's many more. So, Powell and his surviving bandmates carried on with the Rossington Collin bands He later joined the reformed Lynyrd Skynyrd. He is one of my idols, and he proved that a piano could sound at home in a band driven by three guitar players.
Yeah, he was one of your favorites, but one of my favorites is
coming up.
A guy from Chicago. He went to St. Rita High School and DePaul University. His name is Ray Manzarek of The Doors. He's my favorite, as I said. He was the architect of The Doors' haunting sound. He fused rock, jazz, blues, and his classical background into something new. There was no band like The Doors. And, you know, if you add in Jim Morrison's lyrics, his voice, and stage persona, you have an experience like no other. Besides Morrison, the band consisted of drummer John Densmore and guitarist Robbie Krieger. And the band did not have a bass player. That was Ray's job on the keyboard. My favorite song by The Doors is Riders on the Storm. Ray was warming up in the studio one day with the old country song, Ghost Riders in the Sky, a cowboy legend, when he came up with the music for Riders in the Storm. His solo, played on an Electric Rhodes piano, in my view, is the best piano solo in rock and roll history. So put on those headphones, sit back, and enjoy the flight. You are listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM, and on demand 24/7 from anywhere in the world. Please stay tuned for part two of Great Piano Players.